I speak to you in the name of the one holy, undivided Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be back, although some of you may not even know I'd been away. I'll go ahead and tell you where George is because he was scheduled to be here and to preach. But on Thursday, George was notified by someone he met with Wednesday that they had just tested positive for COVID. And so out of an abundance of safety, he is quarantined and watching. So our prayers are with you as you wait your results. So I was scheduled to be away and I came back and I thought about everything that's happening. I've been, as all of us, deeply engaged with what is happening in the world. And here we are with what's happening in the church, and they're not separate. We've arrived at this point of Holy Trinity, Trinity Sunday. It's halfway through the church year. In Advent, we wait with anticipation and we hope for God's promises to be fulfilled. And we tell the stories that remind us to hope and to expect God to come. And then in the season of Christmas, we marvel at the mind-bending reality that God became incarnate, that the Word became incarnate. Because as you remember, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through that Word, the Christ, all things came into being through the story we just heard. So in the season of Christmas, we celebrate the marvel of the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, fully human. And in Epiphany, we begin with the baptism of Christ, of Jesus. The Holy Spirit descends, and His ministry, His public ministry, begins. And we celebrate the stories of a new teaching, of a new hope, and a new light entering the world of darkness, of shadow. And then in Lent, we listen to the stories of challenge. We hear the stories of suffering, and ultimately, the story of the Word crucified, executed on a Roman cross. And that gives way, of course, to the season and the story of Easter. And in that season, that longest season we celebrate, we hear all the stories of resurrection, strange stories, where people do not recognize the risen Christ until they do, until Christ speaks to them, names them, calls them, abides with them. And all of that culminates in the day of Pentecost, the eighth week of the Easter season. So let me tie this string together. Because God created everything in 6 days. And on the seventh day, what we call Saturday, God rested and beheld all of God's work and said, "This is very good." But Saturday, as I say, is the last day of the week. We celebrate the resurrection on the first day of the week. The Saturday of the Sabbath, the day that God rested from creating, is the same day that Jesus, that the Word made flesh, God incarnate, lay dead in a tomb. Dead. In the same way that I will die and that you will die, that we all will. Jesus lay in a tomb, emptied out, poured out of life. And then on the first day of the week, our story, our unique Christian story, begins. The first day of the week, Sunday, eastward facing toward the rising sun of a new day, a new dawn. And if you've been to other parishes, you'll notice our baptismal font is completely round. Many fonts are round and also have an octagon of boundary, an eight-sided font. A little later on in Christian history, probably about the time we were struggling with the meaning of Trinity, and with the meaning of baptism, we realized that the eighth day is the day of new creation. The beginning of new creation, and so many churches have baptismal fonts that are a circle of eternity. And the font itself is the tomb of death, and it is filled with the chaotic water of creation. And over that water, the Spirit of God hovers, and we baptize in that water, and we are buried in the tomb with Christ, and out of that tomb, we become a new creation, soaked in the mystery of Christ. And St. Paul wrote about that experience to the church in Galatia, using these words: "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So what? What is the effect upon we who call ourselves Christians to listen to the stories year after year from our cradle to our grave? So what is not a challenge. It's an invitation. What is the effect that the way we pray and the way we worship and the texts that we absorb and read and study, to what end are we reformed and risen and made new creations out of the water of baptism? And in our tradition, at the very earliest moment of life, last year on about this Sunday, we had two baptisms, an adult and an infant. And their lives, little by little, from that day forward, in a public way. They've always been on a path, they've always been on a journey, but from that day forward, they join the journey of following Christ in a more and more intentional way. following what we have come to call the way of love. And in the way of love, Jesus preached again and again the story of the Scriptures. Verna Dozier put it this way about the stories that we read. The biblical story is one of a free God who created free creatures to be in fellowship with their Creator. The free creatures could not trust the divine way and God. And God, respecting their freedom, set in motion a plan to win them back. The plan began with the calling of a chosen people to show the world a way to live marked by love and compassion and justice and the mercy of God. And God entered into a covenant relationship with this people and brought them to a place of honor and eminence in the world. They were attracted, however, by the opulence and rituals of the rest of the world, and they turned from the way that had shaped them. The biblical story is that God then entered history to show the world in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah who was the Word of God, to show the world in Jesus the Christ the glory and the promise, the cost and the reward of a life lived in absolute allegiance to a way that is not the way of the world. It's so simple, the teaching. The gospel today, it's so simple. Follow my commandments. Obey what I have taught you. But it is so hard to do. We, like all people, like the people of the covenant into whom we Gentiles have been grafted, we so often follow the way of the world. But Jesus again and again preached mercy. He practiced compassion, and he gave everything he had. He gave his spirit, he gave God's blessing, he gave God's healing, and he talked about it as repentance. And in Greek, the word that we have translated as repentance is metanoia, which is two words, meta, beyond, and mind. Beyond mind. To be changed is what our faith of all religions is about. It is about being changed more and more day by day, failure by failure, into the image of the God that created us. A few months ago, received the results from one of these DNA tests, 23andMe, I think it was. And it turns out I'm in the 80th percentile of all people who've taken these analyses of having 80th percentile of Neanderthal DNA. It's not much, but it's there. And it's an important reminder, especially for people of faith, that the biblical story is true. And it happens in miraculous ways. I have bits and pieces of my very physical material being that are 40,000 years old. We have been becoming human for a few minutes in the deep time of history. And I believe that as the events of human history turn and churn, react reflect and grow. That Christians have a unique calling. All people of faith, of all faiths, have a unique calling to say what they believe, to live what they believe. About a year ago, some of you will remember, about a year exactly ago, we had a couple of events in the River Room to talk, at least begin a conversation about race. We watched a film, a documentary called Slavery by Another Name that looked at how the laws of Southern states after Reconstruction ended following the Civil War, how those laws essentially crippled and oppressed black citizens, voting, people who had the right to vote. And a few weeks after that, we watched an interview with an author named Ibram Kendi, who did an exhaustive study of the history of slavery in the modern era. And we met and gathered, and I remember thinking that day, I don't know how many people are going to come, I didn't ask for RSVPs, I'll prepare, we had 30 people at the last event, I'll prepare 30 or 40 handouts for that night. It was July the 3rd or 4th or 5th, it was July the 5th, and it was a Sunday evening. And 70 people showed up. People from parishes all over Augusta. And I was surprised at how much energy, at how much interest, at how much humility came for that conversation. And then I didn't organize. And so I do right now invite anyone of this parish or otherwise who wishes to continue the work or connect with others who are, to not wait, but to be in touch, if you wish, with me through our website at the parish, and we will make that happen. My voice is a little tattered because I attended the rally, or rather the protest yesterday, here in Augusta, which was tremendous and diverse and hopeful and powerful. It was, in many ways, the Spirit moving, the Spirit of God moving over the waters of creation again, calling us again, never giving up on us, always receiving us when we are willing to change our mind, to enter a larger way of being. So wherever you are on this path of love, wherever you are, all of us, every one of us is being invited to look into our heart and be honest about what we find there when we watch the events that are happening in the United States of America. We may be avidly for or avidly against or confused. Whatever the case is, the path forward involves repentance, acknowledging where you are, asking God to take it and renew it, and to have some level of change, and entering a new and deeper relationship of reconciliation, because that is all Christians really have to offer the world, is reconciliation, a way of living that can forgive anything, that can heal real wounds with relationship. That's the life that Jesus showed us, and that's the life that the risen Christ made known to us in the breaking of bread, in the praying of prayers, in the fellowship of the baptized, sometimes when we need to know that the Spirit of God is not only in the church, it erupts from people who are crying out, and not strangers, but people made in the image of God, children of God, Christ looking at me from the eyes of one who suffers, who is screaming, "Help me!" Help me. Amen.